man. Amen. Well, I don't know what all they did, but I believe they fixed whatever was wrong. He got more air and volume than I do, and as far as I know, my heart is all right. It's so good to see you, Brother Ike told us about you, and of course we remembered you in prayer. And so you're absolutely right, God is good. I thought that I was getting the flu. I don't guess that it was, because it left me so fast. But I remember years ago, one of the two times that I did have the flu, God gave me a message living on death row, because I thought I was going to die. And so it's good to be in the house of God. Amen. It's good to feel well enough to get up and get in a nice vehicle, ride to a nice church. Amen. And be with nice people. As far as I know, y'all, some of you questionable, maybe, but you're pretty nice folks, and so it's good to be here with you. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Just going to share a few thoughts with you tonight, being it's Wednesday night. We got to go to the prison last night. I didn't think that we would get to, but we did. We had 52 there with us. Had a good service, and I tell you what, we got one boy there last night, Brother Ike. He's fixing to come to the Lord, I can tell.
Amen.
He's really wanting to talk, and so we'll be in much prayer about him. But I want to just talk about a simple subject tonight. The subject is simply this: by one man. By one man. In the verses of Scripture we're going to read, you'll see the word one used 11 times. And each time it's talking about one individual, one man. And so let's begin reading in verse number 12. Now you might also notice, as we read these verses, you'll see four rulers reigning. You'll see that sin reigns. You'll see that death reigns. You'll see that grace reigns, and you'll see that life reigns. So it's a good idea to choose who you want to rule over you, amen, and know the difference. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous."
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have just three points for you about one man. That man is Adam. going to talk first of all about Adam being the root of the human race, then Adam being the ruin of the human race, and Adam being the representative of the human race. I have a fourth point, but we'll get to it a little bit later on. Now, in modern times, what they call behavioristic psychology says that a man is but the sum total of his environment and of his body chemistry. And if he does wrong, it is because he's like a computer that has been programmed wrongly. Therefore, by that philosophy of life, man will never be held accountable. But yet the Bible teaches otherwise, that man is much accountable to God. And nothing teaches that truth greater than the fact that man dies. Amen? Because the judgment of God upon sin is the penalty of death. The prophet in the Old Testament said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Amen? Amen. Well, how did death get into this world? Well, it's pretty simple thing for us to understand. That's hard for man to understand it. But we find that it got into the world in the verses we read through one man. Now, did sin exist before that? Well, yes, it did. There was sin in heaven. Amen. That's where original sin was. It was not in the garden. Original sin was found in one known as Lucifer. Amen. And the Bible says that because of his sin, he fell. And just like Lucifer fell when he sinned, Adam fell when he sinned. Now, I know we live in a time when we have an understanding that the earth and the world and the universe is billions of years old. Well, you know, and some people argue about how old the earth is. So some say it's not but 6,000 years old because of the genealogy of the races of men upon the earth. Others try to mix science and the Bible and say that it's actually much older than that. I don't know, and it's not really that important to me, and I'll tell you why. It didn't interest God enough to tell me how old it was, so I'm just not going to worry about it. But there are some things that I can tell you about it, that there was a time when God decided he wanted to put a man on this watery globe upon which we live. Amen. And the Bible says his name was Adam. Now, if you read the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, it says that God said, "Let us create man in our own image." Now, that word there that is translated man is the word Adam, the word Adam. It's the same word. We find the proper name is going to be used in chapter 2. He elaborates on that creation of man in chapter 2 by saying this, "And the Lord God formed men," same word, Adam, "of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Later, a few verses down in chapter number 2, it says that God created the animals of the dust of the ground. And when he did that, he brought them to, and this time it says, Adam. It doesn't say man, but he there is called by proper name, Adam, but yet is the same word. Why? Because at that point in time, a special relationship is going to be struck between man and his God and man and God's creation. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I look so forward to the millennium and the time to come, God restoring that relationship. And so he's identified by the proper name, Adam. And so the Bible begins to talk then about his relationship with his bride. And so it talks about his proper name, God removing the rib and forming Eve from that. Her name was not Eve at that time. It was Isai. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now, if you go on a little bit further, you'll find in chapter 3 that it says, therefore, or the end of chapter 2, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father. Now, it's not Adam when he says, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father. But it's a different word. It's the word ish. Eve, or the woman, woman out of man, ishai. Amen. So that means a particular man, or any man, amen, shall leave his mother and father. And so we see those relationships established between God, his creation of man, and the creation that he made, listen now, for man when he put him in that garden. And so Adam was the first man. Now, I had a man come to me one time, and he said, preacher, you ever teach about the pre-Adamic race? I said, well, no, I cannot say that I have. He said, well, it's very interesting. You ought to preach on it. I said, well, there's only two Adams I've run across that were interesting to me. And that's the first Adam and the last Adam. Every time a person tries to get me off into something about what the Bible says, I want to tell you something. The Bible is about two people and two people only. The first Adam, the last Adam.
Amen.
And what you and I need to be concerned about is which one of those Adams you and I have a relationship with. Amen. Amen. And so it's just that simple. He was the first man, but tragically he became a fallen man. Why? Because God gave him everything except one thing. There was one thing that maintained God's headship over the man that he'd created in his image, and that was that one tree in the garden that God told him not to eat of. That was it. And of course, he ate of that tree. But now, something interesting took place in that process. The Bible says that Eve was the first one to eat of that fruit. Nothing happened. But the Bible says she gave to Adam and he did eat of that fruit. Then it says, then were their eyes opened. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Adam was the head.
Yeah. Right.
Now you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you find something strange, something gets you in trouble, get me in trouble. It said, I would have you to know something, that the head of every woman is the man.
Yeah.
Now you see, we take that to mean that we the boss. And we want to put it that way. But now let me ask you, in what relationship is man head to the woman? Just this way. The woman came out of the man. So the answer to the age-old question, which first came first, the chicken or the egg? It was the chicken. Amen. So Adam was the first man, and he became a fallen man, but then he became the father of man. Of course, chapter 4 of Genesis begins this way after they're cast out of the garden. It says, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and he bare a man-child. Amen. Now, God had given her the promise of a man-child who would be a redeemer. She thought this is who it was, and so she said, I've begotten not a man, but the man of the Lord that God had promised me. Turned out he wasn't of God, but he was of the devil himself. John said that in his first epistle, amen. All right? And so he became the father of every person that would ever be born upon the face of this earth. And so you and I, we all are kin. We are all relatives, because if you was to trace our family tree back, if you was to trace our DNA and our genetic code back, it would lead us eventually back to that one man named Adam. And so he is the root of the human race, amen.
Right.
And so he became a fallen man. But God showed him how to fix the man, amen. Because before he made them leave that garden, and the Bible said that the man drove out of the garden.
Yeah.
He wasn't invited to leave. He wasn't given a choice of whether to leave. The Bible says God drove the man out of the garden. Amen. But before he did that, the Bible says, because they made themselves some fig leaves, he made them some coats of skins to cover them. Now, he did not do that because the fig leaves were insufficient to cover their nakedness. Matter of fact, fig leaves probably cover more than what people wear on the beach downtown Montecito. The kind of covering that he needed, the only kind of covering that could sufficiently cover him before holy God, was produced by the shedding of innocent blood.
That's it.
And so as Adam was driven out of the garden, God put a flaming cherub there with a flaming sword, amen, lest man could get back to the tree of life in the middle of that garden and eat of it. Now I want to tell you something. Nowhere in Genesis chapter 1 to chapter 6 does it ever say that the Garden of Eden closed down or that it disappeared. It did not. And so when the Bible says at the end of days that when Cain and Abel came to give an offering unto the Lord, where did they carry that offering? Only one place they could carry it. That's where God was. And where was God? He was in the garden, amen. And so they knew what to bring because God showed Adam and Eve before he drove them out of that garden when he slew that innocent animal. And so Cain was disobedient. He's a picture of those who want to change the gospel to suit man's own desire and his own need. But Abel brought a proper offering and he was accepted. And God being God the way that he is, after he rejected Cain, he said, hey son, he said, you know what you ought to be bringing, you bring it, you'll be accepted too. But no, rather than doing it, Cain got mad. Amen? But thank God, even though Adam fell, God showed him how to fix that thing before he drove him out of the garden. Hallelujah. We're going back there one day. So he was not only the root of the human race, he was the ruin of the human race. And so the verses we read tell us that it was by him, through him, that sin entered into the world. And tragically, when sin entered into the world, something else entered into the world. What was it? Death. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Huh? And so he was responsible for the entrance of sin, and Adam's responsible for the extent of sin. Because you see, it just didn't stop with him. It said that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now friend, people do not die because they sin. You need to learn that. They do not die because of what they do. They die because of what they are. You see, there's two words you need to understand. You need to understand the meaning of imputation, and you need to understand the meaning of impartation. You see, Adam died, and we all die because there is within us that inherent, it's another word you need to know, sin. In other words, we don't produce it by sinning. We sin because it is, we produce sin because it is within us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And so he's responsible for the entrance, and he's responsible for the expansion of sin. Amen. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says also that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
Now, we find in Adam the entrance of sin and the expansion of sin, but we also find in Adam an explanation of sin. You see, we have all kind of psychologists. My daddy, last few times I've been talking to him, he went to Georgia, University of Georgia, for a good while he was in the military, and he's told me several times he was within 4 credits of having a psychology degree. I told him, you should have went and got that degree, because if there's any family around needs psychologists, it's us. But I still have his history book that he used there in college. But we try to explain everything today.
Yeah.
We're trying to explain climate today. We don't understand climate. Well, it's our fault. Amen. And you know what amazes me? It amazes me that science will blame us for climate change, but will not blame us for sin. Huh? Amen.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we live in a day in which there are very, very few dividing lines and differences between anybody. And it's a time in which no matter what you do, no matter what you are or whatever you think you are, it's just all right in this world. Why? Because we have no explanation of sin. And when you have no explanation of sin, you cannot define that which is right and that which is wrong.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, we see that here revealed in verse number 13. For until the law, sin... Now, the law came through a man's hands. Who was it? On Mount Sinai. Moses. He lived a long time after Adam, didn't he? He said, for until the law, or before Moses, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed... There's that word. Held to account when there's no law. Huh? Why was the law given? To be a magnifier of sin. You see, it's hard to get a man to realize he's a sinner. You're going to have to get a big magnifying glass put on him for him to ever see and realize that he's a sinner. And that's exactly what the law does, amen. But he said even though there was no law, people were still dying. So people do not die because they break the law, because they died before he ever broke the law. Well, what does that mean? There was no transgression until the law was given, only the one, and that was Adam. Timothy talks about that. Well, I'll explain it to you like this. Suppose you come into a bunch of money and you go down to the Chevrolet place and you buy you a nice, bright, shiny red Corvette Stingray. You look on the speedometer of that thing, and I don't know what it is, but I expect it's probably around 200 and something miles an hour, because my little old four-cylinder's got 160, and I said, if this little thing can go that fast, I'm not going to be in it when it does. But you go by that Corvette, and you get out here on the interstate, and you put that pedal down to the metal, and you cruise down the interstate at 160 miles an hour. Now, if it's possible for one of them to catch you, before long you begin seeing some colored lights in your rearview mirror, amen. You want me to tell you why? Because the speed limit out there is 70, and you have broken the law. So, something's fixing to get imputed to you. You are going to get a ticket, a fine imputed to you, into your account, which is going to take money out of your bank account. But let's take that same red Corvette Stingray. Let's go over to Germany and let's get on the highway known as the Autobahn. I'll tell you, if that thing will run 220, you can run 220 miles an hour down that thing. Why? Because there is no speed limit, which means there is no law. So you can drive fast as you want to, and even if you'll kill yourself, no penalty will be imputed unto you. No law. Amen. But you wrecked that Corvette at 120 or 220, you still did, aren't you? And even before you transgressed the law, you were declared guilty before God.
That's right.
Why? Because Adam is not simply the root of the human race and the ruin of the human race, but he is the representative of the human race.
That's right.
Now, well, preacher, how is Adam my representative? The Bible declares that whoever you are in becomes your representative. And that things that they do either fall in your account or they are credited to you. Now I'm going to give you an example of that. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says there that tithes were paid unto Aaron. He was the first of the Aaronic priesthood. And tithes were given to the priest by the people. He was a receiver of tithes. But then the writer says something right after that. He says he also paid tithes. And then he clarifies what he's talking about. He said he paid tithes because he was in the loins of Abraham when he paid tithes to Melchizedek. So what he's saying is, even though Aaron wasn't born because he was in Abraham, when Abraham paid tithes, Aaron paid tithes.
Amen. Yeah.
And so Abraham is a representative not only of the Hebrew race, but also of the Christian who's saved by faith.
Yeah.
Because Romans chapter 4, if you read it, calls him our Father. Not our Father which is in heaven, not our earthly Father, but He is the Father of faith and those who faith. Amen.
Amen.
Because the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Yes.
So we see that Abraham is a representative because there are certain individuals, the Jewish people, who were in him. And then we find in this which we read here that you can be in Adam. Because he said, in Adam all die. 1 Corinthians 15. Amen. Wow. So it's important for us to understand who our representative is. Now, I'll say this. You had no choice of who you were in as your predecessors. You didn't get to choose your parents. And they really didn't get to choose you either. Now they're working on that. God help us. I don't know what they're going to produce. They keep meddling and fooling around.
Yeah.
And they're starting to clone monkeys now in different places. So it's just a matter of time they go to working on us. And old Joe Parsons, he used to preach years ago. He talked about a soulless man. He did. I don't know what all he meant by that. I wish I'd have been around him a lot more to find out. But he did, amen. And so, Adam is our representative because we all were in Adam when he was created. And so, the Bible says, when Adam fell, we fell also. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, well, I tell you what, God ain't righteous, so he couldn't hold me accountable for something that Adam did. I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, have you ever sinned?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course I have. I said, well, what does that make you?
Yeah.
A sinner. I said, well, now let me ask you this. Why'd you do what you did? Because I wanted to. I said, Adam wasn't forced to eat that fruit. Matter of fact, Timothy tells us that Eve was the one that was deceived, very clearly. And what does that tell me? Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Don't have time to get into all that. It's Wednesday night. I'm not sure I could cover the whole subject anyway. Amen. But we need to see that the Bible says there are people that are referred to as being in Abraham, in Adam. He's the father of the human race. Then the Bible refers to us as being in Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Well, what does that mean? I mean, as far as I can tell, I'm not in anybody right now. I mean, when I look in the mirror, I'm the only one I see. I wish sometimes I could cover myself with somebody else. But you don't do that. What does it mean when it says I'm in them? It does not mean that I'm in them in a physical way. It means that they are my representative.
Right.
Adam was my representative at creation. And when he sinned against God, I sinned against God. When he fell, I fell. And so because of that, I inherited some things from old Adam. I inherited his physical characteristics. That tells me right there. Well, I don't look at me when I say this. Look at somebody else. Tells me we didn't come from a monkey. They tried so hard to link man to the chimpanzee because there's only one chromosome difference there. All I ever said was, well, that must be one whale of a chromosome. Amen?
Yeah.
I ain't seen no monkeys driving the cars down the interstate. I ain't seen them in Walmart buying no deodorant.
Amen.
That must be some chromosome. And you know what? As hard as they tried, they cannot link us to them.
That's right.
You know why? Because it just ain't there.
That's it.
It just ain't there.
Amen.
We have his physical characteristics. But not only that, we have his psychological characteristics. Now the Bible says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. But Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 tells us about our mind before God saved us. That we walked according to the direction and lust of the flesh and, it says, of the mind. So I not only have his physical characteristics, I've got his psychological characteristics, amen. Huh? You know what? So it makes it pretty plain. Adam sinned because he wanted to. I ain't getting into why he did. But you know why I sinned, why you sinned? Fleet Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Now, he'll do his best, but he'll just get you in a place where you won't do something. That's all he does, amen. And so he's not responsible. It's you in the end. Why? Because you did exactly what you wanted to do. A lot of people have a problem with election predestination and trying to make God guilty, when the fact is, God just lets you have what you want anyway.
Yeah.
So what kind of argument you going to put up? You did what you wanted to do anyway. You can't go there and say, well, God, you didn't choose me, therefore I went to hell. Well, no, you did what you wanted to do anyway.
Yes.
And that's the way that it winds up. We have also his spiritual characteristics. Now, what was his spiritual characteristic? He was one who went from walking in the garden of paradise with God in fellowship with him to one who was exiled from the very presence of God. I'm working on a message about the judgment of God. And the first movement you see in God's relationship to his people in judgment is this. He begins to abandon them. What judgment was exercised over Adam? He was driven from the garden. What judgment was exercised on Cain? He was driven from the presence of the Lord into the land of Nod. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I'll be a vagabond in this earth. And whoever sees me kills me. Now, did you ever think, if I'd have been God, and boy, there's many reasons why it's a good thing I'm not God. But if I'd have been God, whenever Cain slew Abel, I'd have slew old Cain. You ever ask yourself why God didn't kill him? There was no law. Didn't mean he didn't die. Didn't mean that he didn't pay for what he did. But son, God didn't exercise death over him right then because there was no commandment saying thou shalt not kill. There was not until the law was given on Mount Sinai. But his punishment was abandonment by God.
Yes.
The book of Hosea, God says this, Ephraim has turned into idols. Leave him alone. So our spiritual characteristic is like that, is that we come into that world and like Adam, we were cut off from God Almighty Himself. Paul put it this way, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We weren't dead physically. When we were born, we were pretty good looking and full of life. But the Bible says we were born dead.
Right.
Doesn't mean we were physically dead, but we were spiritually dead. And spiritual death ultimately leads to physical death.
Yes.
So we were physically, psychologically, and spiritually just like old Adam. Adam was the root of the human race. Adam was the ruin of the human race. Adam is a representative of the human race. But thank God, the second Adam,
amen,
was the redeemer of the human race. Hallelujah. Did you notice in this chapter, There was one peculiar verse in verse 14 there at the end that talked about them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Then it says this, who is the figure? That word means a picture, a shadow, or a type. It does not mean that Adam was Christ. There are religions that teach that now. I ain't gonna get into all that right now. Who is the picture, the shadow of him that was to come? Now, who is the him that was to come? It was none other than Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, who died on the cross for you and I. Amen.
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 Right.
And so, isn't it interesting that the Bible says the first man was of the earth, but the second man, and that's the only time the word second is used in reference to him, and that's because he took upon himself a body at a specific time, same way like as in Adam was the representative, he became one. The second man, listen to what it said, is the Lord from heaven. Glory. Ooh, son. Jesus said, John chapter 6, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Son, if you have any doubt about Jesus being divine, you're going to have to explain it to me, because he came down from heaven. Not only that, but it said he was the Lord, the same word that is used referring to God Almighty. He was the Lord from heaven. Hallelujah. Getting too excited, I'm going to get sick, ain't I? Hallelujah. Jesus was the second man. But the same chapter says he was the last Adam.
Amen.
The first Adam ruined the race. The second Adam redeemed the race. Now here's the wonderful thing about this. Both of them are representatives. In Adam, this representative, all die and are cut off from God. In the second Adam, all can be brought to God. Did you notice the differences it differentiated in the verses that we read about those sin? It described Adam's sin, listen now, as one sin. He only did one thing that caused God to drive him out of that garden. But he said, those for which Jesus died, they have many offenses. They have many sins. Hallelujah. Son, if Adam would have cried out when he sinned and said, God have mercy, forgive me of my sin, God would have killed those animals and would have forgave his sin. I'm sure that's what he did. But son, whenever you and I bow down before God, we don't say, God forgive us of our sin. We have to say, forgive us of our sins.
Amen.
Because they are many.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, I prayed many times and I began this way. And I said, Father, forgive me of my sins, which are many. Boy, I wish I could stand here tonight and tell you I've only got one weakness. I wish I could stand here and tell you tonight that sin in my life, they are few. But friend, if you look at the inside of me and you could see me like this book sees me and like God sees me, you'll realize that, son, I've got sins, not just a sin. Amen. And so the power of the representative, the second Adam, is greater than the power of that first Adam in which we failed. Hallelujah. That which we get from the first Adam is death. Well, guess what? Jesus titled death. He told Adam, he said, in the day that you eat of that tree, he said, thou shalt surely, first time it's used in the Bible, die. Pretty easily understood, isn't it? Amen.
Yes.
Cut off from life. Thou shalt surely die. He called it death. He didn't just title death. He knows it pretty well. But he also tasted death.
Yeah, he did.
The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 that he tasted death for every man. Wow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, the Bible said, John said, First John chapter 1 verse 2, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with Father, the Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Well, if I'm held accountable and I'm automatically condemned because of the sin that Adam committed, why am I also not automatically redeemed by the redemptive sacrifice that Jesus paid for me? Well, here's the thing about it. Here's how you got what you got from Adam. You were born into it. Now, you didn't naturally get born into the second Adam, but you can get supernaturally born.
Amen.
Amen. That's why when he said he's a propitiation for the sins of the whole world, it doesn't mean the whole world is automatically going to be saved. Now, there are those who teach that. Universalism teaches that. But friend, it's not true. The only ones that are redeemed by what he did are those who accept him and by faith receive what he did and have him put it in their account. Now, Paul understood that when he said this. He said, I am crucified with Christ. No, he wasn't. Well, Paul said he was. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. Well, both right. He wasn't crucified with him physically, but when Jesus was crucified, all we who are redeemed were crucified in him. That's what the Bible says. That's how the penalty for our sin is accomplished. The forgiveness of our sins. Because when he died for our sins. Glory to God. But that ain't automatic. You see, you got to get in him. How you do that? Well, you remove yourself from that first representative. And you get yourself in the second representative.
Amen.
Hey, listen. We have a certain body of legislators known as the House of Representatives. What does that mean? We are a government that is of the people, by the people, for the people, supposedly. Amen? But you know what? That doesn't mean that I can drive my Ford up to Washington, D.C. and walk in there and say, hey, bud, I'm coming here to take over today. Y'all ain't doing the right thing. Nope. If I'm going to do anything about it, I'd better show up next polling day, next vote day, and get in there and vote. Why? Because that man's right, my representative. And if my representative up there says, we're going to dye all the money red, then I'm going to be toting red money. And I may not like it, but I'm going to be toting it. Amen? And so we've got to get out of that old representative and to get in Christ Jesus where there is no condemnation.
Amen.
He titled death. He tasted death. But hallelujah, he triumphed over death.
Yes,
I tell you what, as close as I want to get to hell is in Luke chapter 16. But I declare I wish I could place me a pair of eyeballs down there when Jesus went down to that place where you were either delivered or condemned. And he appeared as Jesus of Nazareth. And everybody's inventory was taken and everybody was guilty except for one. Jesus of Nazareth. And I can see him walk up to the gates of hell and snatching the keys of death and hell out of the hand of the keeper. And so in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I have the keys of death and hell. Amen. How did he do that? Because he triumphed over them. What does that mean? He defeated them. Hallelujah. Ooh. Now you know what? I was talking to Miss Ann on the way to the church. I said, you know what? I said, Brother Smiley's been in glory for a full day.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking about that. What a message that would be. What will you say? What will you see your first day in glory? And as I thought about that, I said, man, that's too big for me. I don't know enough to preach that message. But now I can preach a message to you on the first thing you'll see your first day in hell. Because that's in this book, amen. Huh? But I got to thinking about that. Hallelujah. You know why old Brother Smiley triumphed? Because Jesus triumphed. You know why Brother Smiley's in glory? It's because he chose Jesus Christ, the second Adam, to be his Adam as opposed to the one that he was born in. And so he was born again. Hallelujah. Boy, I wish I could see him there. But if I did, I'd drop dead. But I want to go, amen. Hallelujah. Preacher called me last night and told me he passed away. I said, well, he's where we want to be. More than that, he's going to be where we're going to be if we're in Christ Jesus. He titled death. He tasted death. He triumphed over death. But hallelujah, he terminated death. The Bible says in the book 1 Corinthians, it says this, the last enemy that shall be, and I like this next word, destroyed,
Amen.
Is death. Mr. Peel, oh, you're going to be out of business. You'll have to find you something else to do. Boy, I've preached funerals before and I've gone in there and I said, these people sure are nice here and I appreciate what they're doing, but I'll sure be glad to see the day they're put out of business because I'm tired of preaching these funerals. I'm tired of seeing my loved ones leave this world. Hallelujah. Jesus terminated death.
Yes, he did.
We read in the book of Revelation, the angel seen flying across the heavens and he declared that time shall be no more. Revelation chapter 21 says, and there'll be no more death. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Why? One man, the second Adam, he terminated death. Oh, preacher, how did that happen? By one man. We got in this mess by one and man. All it takes is one man to get us out of it. And I'm glad tonight that he's my Savior. This April I will have been a Christian for 46 years. And it's amazing to me. I'm first amazed that God ever saved me to start with. I'm secondly amazed that God was able to keep me this long. Because I've got a very loose collar. And I'm so glad that he's the God that he declared himself to be. Amen. How many does it take for victory? Only takes one. How many does it take to make a difference? Only one. And his name is Jesus. God bless you.
Mm.